right, everybody. Welcome to Rockcast. Hi, I'm Jimmy Tippett.
Thanks for coming on, Jimmy.
Thank you, Jordan. It's been a while since I seen you. We didn't get to talk much at the Hunt Expo, so this is going to be good.
Man, it's so nuts at that expo. And this year, kind of side note, they widened the aisles, I heard, but it was still just as packed as it was any of the other years.
Yeah, it was great. It's good to have the whole, most of the Rockslide crew there too.
Yeah, pretty much everybody was there. Tony Treach even made an appearance.
Yeah, I think Ryan Avery was the only one that wasn't there.
Yeah, yep, they missed it. I think, didn't they have a basketball? I think their daughter had a basketball tournament.
Yeah, he's kind of like, I'm the same way with my kids. I always got baseball. It makes it hard to scout when you're always doing these tournaments.
Yep, for sure. So, Jimmy, I wanted to have you on to talk about broadheads and kind of keep broadheads more in like, I guess, layman's terms. I think some podcasts go too in-depth and it kind of loses people, including me. So how I kind of wanted to start off was just, can you kind of give us an idea of different broadhead options? Like, you know, you got fixed expandable, and then you got some hybrids out there now. And then I also wanted to touch on, you know, what like a true cut-on contact broadhead would be.
Yeah, you got you have your fixed, which you have your two blade, three blade, four blade, mechanicals, hybrids. My favorite now through the years of evolution of using them is probably a two blade. I like single and double bevel. I'm not going to get into brands and all that, but I've come across with that 1 1/8 two blade fixed is probably my all around favorite because of the failures I've had in the past. I guess I could start when I first started way back, I'd shoot fixed and I'd shoot three or four blades. And I wasn't as good of a shooter. Not saying that I'm good now, but I'm better than I was. And if your bow wasn't perfectly tuned or you have the jitters, you know, you got an animal, let's say a buck in your sights and you're a little nervous, you get a little torque, if you're not getting that perfect release on the shot with a three or four blade, in my experience, that thing will just veer off or slightly out of tune. It's just, they're real finical. You have to have a really good release shooting for a while, in my experience. And so I had those and I had some failures with some shots drifting left or right. And so I went to expandables. I don't know how many years, some states you can't use them, but I went to expandables way back in 2013, I think it was, because with a little bit of with wind, you get away with a lot with those because they don't have the blades to catch in the air for that drift. So I would stick with those. Plus, you get a little away with a little bit with some torque or any imperfections in the break of the shot. It's more like a field point. So I use those for a while, and I did like one brand. They don't make them anymore, so I guess I could say their name, the Ulmer Edge. But there was some things that were wrong with them. The rubber band would dry rot and break off. They'd rattle inside my quiver. One time I shot an animal and it barely caught some branch and opened up, so I didn't get a full pass through. I mean, there's a lot of things with expandables over the years that I've come across. I had some other brands. I'm not going to speak about them. I don't want to do that. But they didn't expand when they went in all the way. And I found my animal and found the expandable not even opened up. And I was like, man, what the heck? Luckily, I made a decent shot. Then I've had other ones where they've opened up on contact hitting bone. So now I'm not getting deep penetration. So I've had a lot of failures. Even my buddy I shoot with quite a bit, he's really good. He always aims for that heart, and he's always used expandables. Well, you know, if you're off just a couple inches on a heart shot, you're in that shoulder.
Yeah.
Well, with an expandable, it hits that shoulder, opens up, that you're not going in. It's just not happening. And there is a time and a place for expandables, and I hope, you know, people ain't going to come back backlashing. They love them. I get it. There is a time and a place. I totally get it, but it's just I've had too many failures with those. Along with what I said about the fixed, to where I've come to the conclusion with these two blades, single and double bevel, fixed blades, they fly almost just like a field point. I just love them. And you get clean pass-throughs. They're solid. They'll punch through bone. That's where the conclusion I've come to over the years. And I just couldn't be happier.
When you talk about bevels, could you talk about that a little bit more in depth, I guess, like what, you know, a single and a double bevel broadhead are?
Yeah, well, a single will have on one blade, you'll have, it's just where it's, I don't know how to explain it, where it's like at a 45 and comes sharp on one side, as opposed to coming in on both sides where it's sharp, where you have to sharpen both sides. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yep. It totally makes sense.
On each blade. So on each blade, if it's single, you just have one bevel, which is an angle to where it gets sharp and flat on the other, and just the opposite on the other side. It'll bevel at the, on the opposite side, but just one way. And then you have double bevels.
Yep. That totally makes sense.
And I like them both.
Yeah. And then those will be cut on contacts for sure, I think. I know there's other.
Oh, yeah.
I always used to think that if you had a fixed blade broadhead, that it was cut on contact. And that's not right, correct?
Well, I mean, obviously when it hits, it's making it's cutting on contact. I mean, if that's the way, I mean, in layman terms. So, yeah, I guess it is.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
But they'll slide through those fixed, especially if you got a heavier grain arrow. And, you know, there's pros and cons to light and heavy and all, but that heavier arrow with those fixed blades, they just punch right through, especially if you're hitting bone, like especially a rib. You center punch a rib with an expandable. Good luck with just getting even a single lung.
Yeah, I had troubles with that. I've shot some animals, but I, of course, started with expandables because everybody said, you know, that's going to get you the biggest blood trail and whatever. I didn't know what the hell I was doing, really. So I started with those, and I just had bad experiences, like just not good. And a lot of it, I think, was because, you know, I wasn't shooting big poundage and a very long draw length. You know, now even I'm at like 63 pounds with a 28 inch draw length, and I would still way rather shoot fixed blades. It was a night and day difference when I shot an animal with a fixed blade after I'd switched from the expandables. And I'm totally on that train now. It makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. You know, life, you have enough failures or something, you just keep learning. And a lot of people have to do that. Now, if you're someone who's pro expandable, you probably had a lot of slipping right between not hitting bone. Yeah, you're going to tear things up and you're going to get a good blood trail and it's going to die quick. Mm-hmm. But I don't like all those variables of the bones. You know, there's a lot of bones in an animal.
Yeah. What broadhead are you going to use this year?
I'm sticking with, I mean, if you don't mind talking, brands. And I don't get paid by them.
We're all about brands.
I don't get
free
broadheads or anything. I pay for them just like anybody else. I'm sticking with Iron Wheels.
Nice.
I love the Iron Wheels with that bleeder.
Yeah, I've been looking at. I looked at those, and I looked at the Day 6 ones that just came out, and they look really good for a. You know, for somebody that just wants to go into a box store and buy, you know, a set of broadheads, what is there kind of a brand that you would recommend, or, you know, the brand and the model that you would recommend that you could like walk into a Cabela's and buy?
Yeah, if I was anybody, because I've had good success with them, I would, because they're not so expensive and you're not worried about losing them, because, you know, the Iron Wheels are expensive and there's some other brands out there as well. And you do get what you pay for. I mean, it's better. It's just a better steel or titanium, but I would go, because you can get a 3-pack for $40. I would probably, if somebody learning or doesn't have the high budget, I'd go with a Kudu Point. I've had good experience. Those fly very well and they cut really good. It's just, they're not as durable as let's say an Iron Wheel, you know, they're not as thick and as strong. So if you were to hit, let's say, a shoulder, it might bend a little and not allow, I mean, it'll punch through your ribs, but let's say a shoulder, it might tweak and bend a little, if that makes sense.
No, it totally makes sense. I shot the last three things that I shot, both my elk last year and then my high country mule deer the year before that, I shot with the Grim Reaper Hades, that 3-blade. And I have got along really well with those. Like, they've always flown well for me, but every one of them, the tip was bent over.
Yeah, see, I'm not. You get what you pay for. You know, the cheaper ones are obviously not going to be. They're not going to be as durable, because the reason why they're more expensive, because it costs more for that metal and manufacturing. There's a reason for it. It ain't just because they built that brand name up. So if you can afford it, you know, it's nice to get. One thing I do recommend, for my experience, though, I know I'm kind of branching off here, is I've come across that if you're looking for quiet, I would recommend staying away from vented. That's the one thing I've.
Okay.
Every time I've shot vented, they just zzz, right through the air. And I'm not big on that. So that's one thing I would recommend, the solids.
Okay. Yeah, that's really good to know, because that was actually another question that I had for you. I guess backing up a little bit, kind of with your evolution, like, we can totally talk about brands, whatever. We just want to, you know, we want a podcast that's going to really help people. So is there brands that maybe you would stay away from, or just kind of models that you've had bad luck with? Like with me, those, the G5 T3s, I tried those and I cannot keep the freaking blades locked in to save my life. And, you know, they flop open when you got an arrow knocked, and, you know, you're at full draw and have a deer in front of you, and they're, you know, you have a blade flailing around for an expandable. Is there anything, like, kind of back to your, I guess, your evolution, what did you try? What did you start trying?
Well, I don't know how many I've tried. I have to think back, but my two favorite expandables, if I was to use them, it would be either that new Sever. The new Sever is really good. And the Rage Hypodermics or Tripans, those are two good expandables. One I'd really stay away from bad experiences, not just one shot. I think I've recovered two and lost one. And even the two I recovered, every one of those arrows was a Schwacker. Not one of them expanded. Not one. Found them with the band still on them. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. How is this not deploying? So I would recommend and I've had some other friends that's told me the same thing. So they probably just need to change their band. I think that band's just a little too strong, so it's not letting it deploy.
Okay, gotcha. That makes sense. So for different broadheads, for like deer versus elk versus, you know, like stepping up to a moose, would you just shoot a heavier broadhead if you're going to step up to a moose?
Yeah, just a heavier arrow all around.
Yeah.
So like what I like using right now, my setup, it's all just under 500 grains, and that's good for my elk, deer, bear, javelina, anything. I like that. That's my best all around. And now if I was to go moose hunting, I would probably step that up to the upper fives probably. I'm not going to change really my setup. I might go with a heavier head, maybe some weights, just to bump up the weight of that arrow, just so I have a little more kinetic energy to punch, because that's a big animal.
Yeah, that is a dang big animal. But yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to cover. It was, you know, it was short and sweet. But I definitely, you know, is there a broadhead that just doesn't tune? Like, is there kind of a style of broadhead that's just really hard to tune?
Well, the ones I've had problems with, and other people, this is just my experience, is those I've had real hard time with, the G5s. I think Montex it was. I used to always their things would always drift left on me for some reason. They drift like 7 o'clock on all. I'm like, why is that? And then I'd have to adjust my rest and try to, I just always was finicky with those things. They used to drive me nuts, you know, and that could have been a form issue. Way back when the Shuttle Tees, those just actually used to fly pretty good. Shuttle Tees. I don't know. Do they still make those? Those flew pretty good.
Yeah, they do. I'm going to use those this year, I guess.
Yeah, those flew actually really well. I just had a hard time sharpening them because of that. Now they're round.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of come and round out. I just had a hard time keeping them sharp. But those actually flew well. But there wasn't a lot of blade either to catch the air. I'm trying to think of what else I had. Man, it's been so long since I used to shoot all those fixed and just.
Yeah, a lot of people like those Slick Tricks.
Oh, yeah, Slick Trick Magnums. I used to shoot those. Those flew pretty decent, kind of like the Shuttle Tees. Those weren't finicky. I just remember the G5s, maybe it's because there's a longer blade. I don't know. I just had a hard time. Maybe it was just the way my bow was tuned for those. I just it was too much tuning back and forth, and I stayed away from those.
Mm-hmm. How has the tuning been with those iron wheels, like from a field tip, you know, like sighting your bow in and tuning it with a field tip and then throwing a broadhead on? What kind of changed for you?
Absolutely nothing. I always shot Hoyt, and my last Hoyt, right from regular tuning, after paper tune and everything, it shot darts with my field points. Then I got a prime last year, trying that out for a while. Same thing, it shot right with my field points. I just didn't like the feel of my prime. So I went back to Hoyt, and same thing. So I've had three different bows, and every one of them with iron wheels, just perfect. Same with the Kudus. Kudus flew very well.
That's awesome. I think that's a big thing to hit on too, is, you know, guys need to, or girls need to, shoot with their broadhead on before they go out, because you hear stories of, like, you know, you throw a broadhead on and you shoot and the thing flies straight down into the ground or something crazy, just because of the tuning is so far off. And, you know, I think we sort of take it for granted a little, just because we know that you need to do that. But there are some people that don't. And I know people that don't still, you know, really shoot with their broadhead on, especially out to range. So that's just really important to note.
Oh, yeah, I definitely. And I always go out to a minimum of 60 yards when I'm testing my broadheads, just to make sure. Because it's not, if you don't have the confidence, then you're not going to make a good shot, if that makes sense. So if I go out knowing it's going to hit right where my field points are, then I'm going to have way more confidence when I release that arrow.
No, definitely. Yeah. And I think it's just because people don't think about that. They just think, well, a head's a head. So if my bow, you know, if I'm hitting the target at 40 with my field points, why should it change with a broadhead? But it does, obviously. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah. That's you just got to do that.
Yeah. Because certain broadheads will fly better with certain vanes. Will fly better. It just, there's a lot of variables. So you really got to go out and try. Cause if you have a 3-fletch, 4-fletch, 6-fletch, whatever fletch you're going with, the different heads are going to fly differently. So you have to.
Yeah. That's one thing I wanted to bring up. It's a little bit off topic, but you just came out with an article called, six fletch arrows. Are you crazy? And, I'll link that down in the description for sure. But what do you think? What do you think of those?
I love them. That I'm with the 4-fletch and the 6-fletch is where I'm at. I don't ever touch the 3s anymore. I haven't shot 3-fletch in quite a while, but they both fly very well. I love the 6-fletch. It just, I don't know. They just seem to hit really well. I've turned some friends onto them, and they won't go back as well. They just fly really well. The only thing I worry about is maybe all those fletchings being such a group of vanes that it's just me theoretically thinking that it might slow the pass through. It might group up and grab at the fur, you know what I'm saying, at the hide. It might not, but that's just my only fear of them. But flight-wise, they just guide those broadheads really well.
Dang, good to know. I'm still on the 3-fletch just because, again, I know how to tune my bow to where my arrows are flying straight. And I mean, that's about it. I just try some different things, and just kind of what's been working for me is what I've been, I'm just not a big, I don't tweak my stuff with my archery equipment too often, but I definitely want to try the 4-fletch. What do you think is the biggest difference between, like, if you're going to hop up from a 3-fletch and go to a 4 or a 6, what's the biggest advantage to that?
I think it'll guide your broadhead better in flight, in my opinion. Like, I always had my field points would always fly money. And then as soon as I went to fix, it was just finicky. You know, not that it doesn't work. Some people, you know, it works perfect and they're confident and there's nothing against it. It's just for me, I feel that 4-fletch just guides my broadhead a lot better, in my opinion.
Gotcha. Cool. Good to know. I'll link to that that article in the description for sure, and then the forum post if anybody has any questions. And yeah, I mean, you've written quite a few articles for Rock Slide All, and you know, all about archery. For I think they're all about archery, aren't they?
Yeah, that's Because I don't ever hunt with a gun unless I'm taking my kids out. Nothing wrong with guns. I'm passionate about archery. I love it. I'm just obsessed with it. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. My wife's always like, you're just obsessed. I'm like, well, it's because I love it.
Yeah, not a bad thing. Yeah, at least you care enough about it to, you know, get into it as deep as you do. And we all appreciate you writing the articles for sure. But that's all I kind of had, man.
Would we just put one out as
arrow building, I think?
Oh, yeah, building your arrows. I think some people who are interested in this topic right here, go ahead and check that out, and you'll learn a lot about building arrows and the importance of it and the grains. And it does make a difference on building your own arrows. Plus it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I'm just looking at him here, and it looks like you've got 5 or 6 different ones on there. Yeah, maybe more of just archery stuff. So if anybody is interested in those, I'll link everything down in the description so you can just go right to Jimmy's page on Rockslide and look through all of his articles. They're super informative. So, yeah, thanks for coming on again, Jimmy.
Yeah, thank you, Jordan. I'm super excited about this upcoming season. I got me a handful of tags. I can't wait to see what I can put down.
Yeah, what do you have for tags?
Well, I just came back from that Rockslide bear camp. So there's bear. I got, I have an over the counter tag for mule deer still left, because you can go 3 times in 1 year in Arizona on an over the counter. So I might go hit up a weekend for mule deer, right before the week before the opener in Idaho. I'm going for elk. I'm doing 9 days for elk in Idaho. Then I have my son's mule deer tag here in Nevada. Then I have a late season archery bull in Arizona.
Ooh.
And I've done a little scouting. I'm gonna do a lot more towards the end of October when they start getting into their post rut patterns, getting into their winter. So I'll go and get that going. Then I'm gonna go, if I don't fill that tag on the weekend for my mule deer in Arizona, I got the last 2 weeks of December to go try to fill that for the rut. So that'll be fun.
No, that sounds like a super packed season. Can't wait to follow along with it.
Yeah, I'm super pumped. How about you? What do you got, Jordan?
Oh, dang. So I drew a high country mule deer tag over in Wyoming. So we scouted for that last weekend, found a couple pretty good bucks. And I think there's a couple different places we need to check out as well. And then we drew late season cow tags in Wyoming, and we also drew Kansas deer tags. So we'll be guiding, of course, here in Nebraska as well. So it's going to be a packed fall. And filming wise, I'm going to go film Robbie in the high country for mule deer. And then I'm going to go film Ryan as well in, his undisclosed locations. But for elk, and that'll be pretty fun. But yeah, that's kind of, it's going to be back to back. Yeah, it's going to be back to back.
That's awesome. Can't wait to hear about all those adventures or watch them.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be great. Everything that I'm doing, we'll film. And then, we're filming. When I go with Robbie and Ryan, we're going to film those for Rockslide. And I'm also doing one with Crispy Boots, I'm pretty sure. So yeah, there's going to be quite a few videos coming out.
Awesome. Good for you, Jordan.
Yeah, thanks. But yeah, thanks again for hopping on, Jimmy.
Thank you, Jordan. Thanks for having me on.
All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning into this episode. We are down to our last week in August. We have 2 more episodes to go till we roll into September. Those two are going to be, we're going to talk about clothing, some layering systems with Tony Treach, and then we're going to talk some first aid kits with Travis Bertrand and some things to think about with first aid. So those are all coming up, and as we wind down to this last week in August, we have been doing 2 podcasts a week plus my Tipsy Tuesdays, and rolling into September and probably October, we're going to roll those back to 1 episode a week plus the Tuesday segment. So yeah, that's what we got coming up. As always, head over and check out the Rockslide forums. They're really cranking up now with we're starting to see antelope hit the ground, mule deer. So the best way to kind of stay in contact with us and kind of up-to-date news as we go throughout the season, head over to the Instagram at Rockcast Podcast and give us a follow there. And then you can follow us on Facebook as well. But we'll be giving updates on the Rockslide forum. So get over there, sign up. It's free. get in on the conversation. Maybe people can learn from you. We can all learn from you. And then hopefully you can learn some things from our members. So that's what's going on. Hope everybody is going to have a great season. And as things kick off, hopefully some of you are driving out to a hunt right now. And yeah, make sure to tag us in your photos. And just good luck. Hunt smart.